Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Well, let's go to Matthew 13, 34 this morning. And I just want to open with a scripture, and then I'm going to jump over to where we want to be and what I'm going to emphasize today. I'm going to talk about your mind or your soul, and I want to get there. But let's look at this scripture here. Matthew 13, 34 says this, "All these things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables, and without a parable he did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. And then he says, I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world." Now, I've read that verse a few times and then at different times. How many have read a verse in the scripture and then you read it again and it's like your eyes see it like you've never seen it before? I mean, that's one of the joys of reading your Bible. I mean, we are Bible readers. We do the one-year Bible thing around here, and we read it chronologically or non-chronologically or whatever way. We got to get it in us, okay? Because the Scripture is food. The Bible talks about the fact that it's milk. The Bible talks about the fact that it's bread. The Bible talks about the fact that it's meat. And the reason it gives that illustration is because it is spiritual food for your spirit. You need to read this because, as Proverbs put it, it's health and medicine to all your flesh. All right? And this is where answers come from. I love what Bill Johnson's been saying lately. I'll listen to a lot of different ministers, but Bill Johnson's been saying this. He's been saying, read your word until you hear God speak to you. I mean, it may not be exactly like that, but until you hear the Holy Spirit speak to you. How many have had a no-so speaking of the Holy Spirit to your heart before? Yeah. It's undeniable. There's a knowing. See, we don't just have a God that's way out in the universe. He is, but we have a God who lives in our heart. The word is nigh thee, in thy heart and in thy mouth, right? So we have a personal relationship with him. And I love this passage of scripture here because it's declared that Jesus spoke things that were understanding before we were ever here. Now that's a thought, isn't it? That'll mess with your natural head. But your heart will go, yeah, that's right. So in other words, and we've talked about this before, but Jesus was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. In other words, God knew in advance what he needed to do to be in a fellowship or a relationship with humanity, and he knew what it was going to cost him. They also, how many know there are realms of wisdom we don't even know yet because we haven't crossed over into eternity? Okay, we're going to get over there. I think, I heard a minister say this one time, and I agree with him. I think we'll get over into heaven and go, do this a lot. Whoa. Oh, that's why. Oh. And then a lot of this. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. You know, I mean, if angels can sit at the throne and go, holy, holy, holy for, what do you think we're going to do? Amen. I love it. Another translation of this says this. It says, I will explain mysteries hidden since the beginning of time. The Message paraphrase says this. I will bring out into the open things hidden since the world's first day. And I like that. I like that picture. I like that thought. So in other words, my God is before, he's not constrained by time. He was before time. He stands over this age and the ages of the earth that we're in or wherever we were born. And he looks from up here down. He's not confined like we are in limitation with time. He's before, and he's the Alpha, and he's the, he's got it front to back, wrapped up. In fact, he knew the end from the beginning. We should take comfort in that. That should make us relax. You know, we should understand where we're at in the times, but we shouldn't fear the Antichrist. Or things like that. Why? Because I'll just put it to you like this. This is the shortest thing you're ever going to do. You say, what do you mean by that? On this planet is the shortest thing you will ever do in comparison with eternity. So it's not that bad anyway. If you're born again, this is the worst hell you'll ever experience. It just gets more gooder from here. Right? Praise the Lord. And so what Jesus did in the parables is he explained things that were before time, and he brought them to the now so that we could glean off of those and function in time. Okay, so he's giving us truths that were before us so that we could have them, read them, let them transform the way we think, and then allow them to govern what we think, say, and do. And then in that, what do? We begin to function by faith in a natural world, and the prayer of Jesus is being fulfilled in that he said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." See, part of our call as the body of Christ is to bring heaven to earth, is to be an expression of it due to the fact that we're in covenant through the blood and body of Jesus Christ, which I'm so thankful for that I didn't have to get that back. How about you? So we've been talking about the parable of the talents, and I'm going to skip down here. We've been talking about different things that the Lord has talented every person with. And basically what we've been talking about is we talked about our physical body and what we're supposed to do with our physical body. Our physical body, basically, we boiled it down to this. It makes a great slave for righteousness. Your physical body is a terrible leader. And if you understand the principles of discipleship and discipline in the epistles, you know that the purpose of your body is to function as a slave to righteousness. It is to be sanctified and set apart and holy. Paul put it like this: "Know ye not that you are the temple of God?" So don't act or look like the world, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And make how much provision for the flesh? None. This has been one of the greatest. And here's the thing. And we looked at the deeds of the flesh. The deeds of the flesh go counter culture. You know what I mean? I shouldn't say that. The request of the Lord goes counterculture to the deeds of the flesh. So we have to make a decision. Is our doctrine or our belief system or the foundation for the way we do things, is it based on what the government says? Is it based on what the culture says? Is it based on what your favorite athlete says? Is it based on what you think it should be because... I've heard people make this statement. They say, "Well, I'm entitled to my opinion." Well, yes and no. I guess it would depend on where you're at. Now, if you don't have a relationship with the Lord, if that's not even there, if he's not your Savior and your Lord, you know, you got to define that today too. If he's not that, then yeah, you technically are entitled to your opinion. Just don't get upset when it doesn't work out the way you want it to. Because there's a seed time and harvest that will never end on this planet while we're here. Until the Lord returns, we're in this, we're all farmers of some sort. Okay? But if you're born again and Jesus is your Lord, you're not entitled to your opinion. I know, that kind of went, ooh. But that's okay, you're thinking, and that's good. That's good. In other words, Jesus is not just Sean's Savior. He's his Lord. And if I have a Lord, I have... Now, you know, the Lord doesn't say to me, "Sean, thou shalt not like the Seahawks and go ahead and root for the Broncos." Because that would be unbelief and false doctrine. It would be total heresy. So, I would, yeah. Thank you for that one witness. Just one. I know I got one. I know I got more than that. They must be shy this morning, but because there's nothing said about that here. So I can have my opinions about certain things. If I like a restaurant better than another, I don't think that's in danger of eternal punishment. You know, sports teams, whatever things. But when it comes to my relationship with the Lord, and what he says, This has to define how I believe. Because this defined how I got saved. I can't enter the door, get into the room and go, I don't like it in this house. But still want to enter the door. The way in is the way you stay in. I let this adjust. I adjust my life to this. I let the Lord dictate to me what it is. And the reason is obvious. For one, He's my creator. I wouldn't even have a heartbeat without Him. But the second is He's my Savior. He came and purchased me back when I messed everything up in the beginning. Does that make sense? So He owns me twice, but gives me free will. And so I choose to give it back to Him and say, okay, You dictate my life, Lord. I tried it on my own and boy, did it hurt. I mean, it hurt bad. And I went, I don't like this. Let's not do that. And then in the process, after I was born again and sanctification takes place and you're growing in your relationship with the Lord, how many, by show of hands, have made a mistake since you got saved? Okay? So thank God for His mercy and compassion. Thank God for everything that He is continuing. In other words, the blood of Jesus is forever working. It's a now fountain. You say, what do you mean by that? Even in our worst day or our most fleshy day or yielded to the enemy day, God's in heaven looking through rose-colored lenses. He's going, good thing they received Jesus. That's why when I mess up, I come boldly to the throne of grace that I may receive mercy and grace. You say, why both? Because I need mercy for my stupidity. Amen. That's all right, right? I said it about me, not you. And I need grace so I don't repeat. Strength. So I don't repeat. And over the years, you know, what I struggled with the flesh and spiritual development in my babyhood, you know, the scripture talks about being an infant or a baby in Christianity and growing to maturity. How many have had babies? Do you have kids? You don't get frustrated with them when they mess their pants? Right? You don't, a baby doesn't come out and you're like, go get a job. It's time for you to pull your weight. Now, if there's nothing, you know, physically wrong with the child and they grow properly, they eventually should stop messing themselves. Right? And so, spiritually, let's apply it the same way. If you're in fellowship with the Lord, if you're functioning with Him, if you're functioning within the confines and the desires that He has for you as a follower and a child of His, and His servant, then you should be developing. There should be a notable difference from when you got saved to where you are now. Year after year after year. It's a principle that Paul made this statement. So much so this way. He said, man, I wanted to be able to teach you more, but you're still not able, and I got to go back to the first. So what did the Apostle Paul do? The Apostle Paul understood in his position as an apostle, as a minister of the gospel, he understood that there was a demand on the believer to make progress spiritually. Okay? And so in these parables, in the parable of the talent, my flesh should not be controlling me as much today as it was 23 years ago. And you can ask my wife, it's not. I'm more obedient to her than I've ever been. Okay. She's used to me. She's married to me. Okay, so we've been married for 20 years now. Yep, going strong. It gets more gooder and more gooder all the time. So, praise God. Part of what we've been given is our mind, our soul. So let's go to, let's see. Why don't we head over to 1 Thessalonians 5. Verse 23, and Paul kind of breaks it down here. I wrote these down. I looked this up on the mind, and there are 53 verses that refer to the mind in the New Testament. And there's statements like, all your mind, out of his mind, in his right mind, called to mind, anxious mind, debased mind, set their minds, carnally minded, spiritually minded. Renewing the mind, same mind, fully convinced mind. One mind of Christ, willing mind, ready mind. No other mind, in other words, don't have another mind. Futility of mind, let this mind, in other words, let this mind be in you. How many have heard that scripture before? Have this mind your own business. We're going to skip that one today, but it could be a good one. Shaken in mind, sound mind, defiled mind, and gird up or ready your mind. So Paul said this in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. He said, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to talk about the soul. You've been given a soul. You've been given a mind, and that mind is yours to control. You know, sometimes people have they've been either deceived by the enemy, or they've been in different situations thought, I can't control my mind. But guess what? Your mind is your mind. Okay? And you need to believe that, because it will give you strength in fighting the thoughts of the enemy. Because the enemy will come to try and attack your mind. In fact, that's his primary battlefield. Okay, so you need to know that you have been given a mind, and that mind is a talent from God. And you can either bury your mind in the soil and wait for your Lord to return, or you can invest into what God has invested in you, and then out of that, invest into others, the kingdom of heaven, so that when the Lord does return, he looks at you and says, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Now watch this. You've been faithful with little, be ruler of much. You know, I'm thankful he said, you've been faithful with little. Instead of, you've been faithful and perfect and haven't made a mistake and didn't do anything wrong, so now you can. No. You be faithful for what you've been given, and then much comes later. Amen. How many know that God understands the limits of this natural body? Okay? He understands that. He understands that. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. The New King James Version says this, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Isn't that interesting? The word thinks is to reason out, to calculate. In the NASU, it says this, as he thinks within himself. Within himself. As you think within yourself, so is he. I like the ESV. It says, for he is like one who is inwardly calculating. How many have inwardly calculated? If they say this, I'm going to say this. Okay? Inwardly, we have a conversation going on inside. Because we have minds, we have the ability to comprehend, to take in information and process it, and then release it or let it out either through facial expressions, through words, through actions. But everything that we see on the outside originated inside. It came in first, and we have minds to be able to do that. So we can calculate, we can think. Say this with me, I can think. It's a good confession, right? I mean, that's a positive thing. You know, some people, and I almost named the Wednesday night Bible study, Let My People Think, instead of Culture Wars. Because sometimes I wonder. You know what I mean? Sometimes I wonder. Our mind is not evil. The devil did not give you your mind. He wants to pervert what God has given you. He wants to pervert what God has given you. And you don't yield your mind up to him. You don't give it to him. Why? Because it's a gift from heaven, and it's something that we want to invest into the kingdom. Amen? And allow God to saturate us with his power, his resurrection. So in the, God's Word translation says, as he calculates the cost to himself, this is what he does. I like that. The RSV says this, for he is like one who is inwardly reckoning. So your mind is the part of you where you inwardly reckon and process. Hebrews talks about this concerning the spirit and the soul. It relates it to bone and marrow. How close is your marrow to your bone? Oh man, they're right there. and your soul and your spirit are right there. That's why your soul messes with your spirit sometimes. That's why you can hear God say, go do this, and your soul will go, I don't know if I want to do that. Why? Because they're just right there. They interlock. They intermingle. And that's something that you need to learn as you grow in the Lord. So it's good to have at least that understanding. So let's do this. Let's go to Proverbs 4, verse 23. Another reason why this is important to understand this and understanding the soul is this. The Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. So in other words, the NCV says this, be careful what you think because your thoughts run your life. Have you ever heard this? Guard your thoughts because your thoughts become your words. Guard your words because your words become your, yeah, or character. Guard your character because your character becomes your destiny. It's where you end up. You want to protect your mind. Why? Because it governs how you live your life. So if you have a fearful mind all the time, you'll be fearing things that don't that aren't even there. You'll be fearing things that aren't even there. Why? Because you've allowed the enemy to come in and take over in an area or to influence in an area. And when that happens, and it may be because of ignorance, it could be because of laziness. You realize ignorance is not stupidity, right? It doesn't mean you can't learn. It just means you don't know about that subject. So when you learn about the mind and you understand what the scripture says about the mind, you can keep the enemy out. Now, I'll put it to you like this, because this is the way Brother Hagin said it to us. You can't keep birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. That is a scripture. Some people are like, no, it's not. Yes, it is. What it's talking about is this, is that thoughts are going to come to you, but it doesn't mean you have to accept them and let them make their home in your hair. Okay? You don't have to. You have spiritual armor that you can use to deflect, defend against the arrows of the enemy. Amen? Okay. So it's important that you guard your mind because it decides the direction of your life. It can determine your peace level as well. And I'm not going to talk about this morning. I want to go to Romans 12 and wrap up right here. We're about to finish. Are you ready? All right. We'll give you something that you can take away and apply. And I was a youth pastor for 6 years, and I've been delivered. It's one of my favorite jokes, but every minister that's been one knows. So, but I will say this. I would tell this to the youth. I would say, I don't know that you know it when you repeat it back to me. I know that you know it when you're doing it. And that's how God sees it with us. I could give you a Greek definition, but that doesn't mean I'm applying it to my life. So this is where we're constantly, I constantly do this, not in a negative, condemning way, but I judge myself. I analyze, I let the mirror sit in front of me, talking about the Word of God. And this is why it's a big deal to me for us to read daily the Word. Because then I look in the mirror and go, Sean, your hair is so messed up today. You're off here. You're not clothed right with the Lord in this area. Stop being impatient with your kids. You know better. Why? Because I just read the scripture in 1 Corinthians 13 that love is patient. Yeah. That's those scriptures. It's like, ooh, I can feel the flesh getting cut off. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, where some people struggle in different areas, impatience. I don't know if it's a McFarlane thing. I haven't quite figured it out yet. I've boiled it down to this at this point. I'm human. Okay? And I look, sometimes I'll read over the disciples and what Jesus put up with. You know, I mean, can you imagine Jesus is about to be crucified and here comes Peter with a sword? You know, Jesus is going to fulfill the will of God, and what does Peter do? Cuts a guy's ear off. And let me just help you. He was a fisherman. He wasn't aiming for his ear. He's just that bad of an aim. You know what I mean? If they would have had fisherman nets, he would have caught them all. But he had a sword and he got the guy's ear. So thankfully, the Lord put it back on. How many are thankful the guy didn't have to go earless the rest of his life? But he dealt with these disciples and they would, you know, they're watching him have mercy on people and different things like that. But yet they would go to some places and go, okay, Lord, let's call down fire from heaven and kill them all. Sometimes I wish we were back there. Anybody with me? Yeah. Some of you are honest. Some of you are not. You're like, I'm sanctified all the time. We'll see when you leave the parking lot. You drive in Sunday traffic. If the windshield had a recorder. All right. But anyway, we've been gifted a mind, and this is what we're supposed to do with our mind. Romans 12:1. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Watch this. And do not be what? Conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Notice it's not the removal of your mind. It's the renewal of your mind. You know, I have a Pentecostal background, and there are different areas in denominations and things where people thought, we just need the Holy Ghost, we don't need to think at all. That's not true. That's silly. We need to renew our mind to the resurrection within us, is the command or the teaching, the revelation that Paul's giving by the Holy Spirit. We need to get our thinking in line with our heart so that we can keep our body in line. The Holy Spirit spoke it to me this one day. He said, Sean, an unrenewed mind and an out of control body will lock up the resurrection of Jesus Christ within you. You can be genuinely born again and look like the world. If you don't believe it, read 1 and 2 Corinthians. Them people were taking communion and drunk as a skunk. In communion. And Paul didn't write to them and say, you're not saved, you heathens, you need to... Well, they needed to repent. But they were born again. They just were what? Yielding to old ways instead of renewing what God had given them and controlling the flesh that God had given them as a house for His Spirit. And so we grow, we develop over time. We come out of those things by the grace of God. I'm so thankful for it. So we are to not be conformed, but be transformed. Transformed. Let's see. There's another translation of this. Kenneth S. Weiss translation says this. And stop assuming an outward expression that does not come from within you and is not representative of what you are in your inner being, but is patterned after this age. But change your outward expression to one that comes from within and is representative of your inner being by the renewing of your mind, resulting in your putting to test what is the will of God, the good and well-pleasing and complete will, and having found that it meets specifications, place your approval upon it. So in other words, don't allow the world to dictate to you what you think. Take what God has given you, renew it according to the Word of God, and then out of that, that will line up with your heart, and then begin to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Begin to express what is within. And this is not as difficult sometimes as people think. You know, sometimes people think, well, I need to pray about everything. You need to pray about some things. But there are other things that are practical in wisdom. In other words, would the Lord parent my kids the way I am? So as you read the word, you renew your mind, you control your flesh, you begin to operate in such a way that is yielded to the Spirit of God within you. You begin to change the way you operate in this world from a heavenly mindset rather than an earthly one. So where the world would look at a situation, whatever the case may be, it could be something as simple as our finances. The world would look at a situation differently than you would because you have a renewed mind. How do I have a renewed mind? I have to find the scriptures that talk about that subject. Well, I just want all my problems to go away. Well, the Lord will give you mercy and He'll help you in difficult situations. But if you want permanent change, there has to be permanent change. I know that sounds deep, doesn't it? Did he just say that twice? Yes, I did. If you want permanent change, there has to be permanent change. What everybody knows or has heard, usually, the definition of insanity. It's doing the same thing over and over again, expecting what? Different results. You have to begin to look at things from God's perspective. Take the mind that God has given you, invest the Word of God into it in a transforming way, begin to look at the perspective and the situation from God's point of view, and then begin to walk in obedience to what you have read, and that then looses God's arm, so to speak, to be able to get into your situation and go, this is the direction I want you to go, this is how I want you to deal with it. And what does the Lord do? He's faithful and just to watch over His Word and do what? Perform it. This has happened in every area of our lives, my wife and I. And we continue to make adjustments. Continually. How many have been saved for 30 years? 40 years? 50 years? Do I want to go higher? How many have had to continually make changes? You're going to have to adjust. God's going to move on your behalf supernaturally and bless you and do things in mercy. And then He'll go, I'm not just doing this. I do it because I love you, but I love you, so I want you to grow. See, God's plan for the children of Israel wasn't to float around in the wilderness forever. It was to go into the promised land. But they had grasshopper mentality. If I was in youth right now, I'd pull out some big clown glasses with huge grasshoppers on them. They had grasshopper vision, right? They couldn't see anything but how small they were. Even though God had just split the Red Sea, plundered Egypt, brought them out healthy, walked them across on dry land, led them by a pillar of fire at night and a cloud by day. I mean, spectacular things. And then they walk up to the walls of Jericho and go, No, we're not going. Their giants were grasshoppers. And the Lord's going, no, your giants, they're your food. Right? I mean, God knew what He was doing. The provision was in front of them. And when we repent and yield to the Lord and don't yield to fear, then the provision is there. But if we remain in that place of fear, then we don't walk into that promise that He's given us. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Shane, would you come? I want to give people an opportunity to make Jesus their Lord this morning if they haven't. And then I also, you know, if you would like prayer, we'll pray with you after the service up here in the altar area. We'll let people go, but you could come up here and pray. Heidi and I will be glad to pray with you. If there's several people, we'll have Mike and Jody help as well, just so for time's sake. But I love John 3:16. How about you? Yeah. Amen. And maybe there's somebody here and you're broken. You don't know what to do. You don't know how it's going to work out. And I want to give you an opportunity to give your life to the Lord, to make Jesus your Lord this morning. This is something that I did 23 years ago. Praise the Lord. I was raised in a Christian home. But I ignorantly decided I was smarter than some and tried it on my own, and boy, did it hurt. But I found out something, and Jesus declared this. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He said, nobody comes to the Father but through me. And He even told the religious people of His day that they were of their father, the devil, which really irritated them. But the reality is, guys, that without God, none of us are good. Nobody is. Nobody is standing in this place right now outside of the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus has the ability to get to heaven. You don't have the ability. You don't have the ability to break the drug addiction in your life. You don't have the ability to break alcoholism in your life. You don't have that ability within you to manage, to be able to do and live inside the blessings of the Lord. You need the Holy Spirit within you. You must have Him. And salvation, of course, has to do with eternity. There's only one door into heaven, and His name is Jesus. And sometimes people say, well, I believe in all the religions. You can, but that will end up in hell. Because Jesus said, I'm the only way. Now, I love what God does. He doesn't force anybody. He doesn't coerce anybody. He doesn't come down and go, I'm God. I demand that you serve me. He comes to the planet and He says, this is me. This is the expression of me, Jesus. And what does He go around doing? He goes around being good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. He goes around performing miracles and showing His creation, who had lost a portion of the vision of Him, the reality of who He is. To where Paul said it this way, he said, Jesus is the express image of the Father. He's the exact image. So Jesus would, he wouldn't coerce you to follow Him. He wouldn't make you follow Him. He wouldn't demand it in the sense of, threatening tones, but He will invite you to. And sometimes you have situations where people have never given their lives to the Lord, and then other times you have situations where people have walked away from the Lord. And there needs to be a rededication of that life. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please. If that's you in here, you've never given your life to the Lord, or you need to rededicate your life to the Lord, would you just raise your hand up so I can see it? Thank you. Anybody else? You need to give your life? Yes, thank you. Anybody else? You're going to have to raise it up high. Some in the back I can't see. This is a needed thing. This is a needed thing. This is the difference between heaven and hell. This is the difference between freedom and bondage. I'm going to pass over one more time. Anybody? I see you in the back. Thank you. Anybody else? Yes, I see you. Yep, thank you. Thanks, Ron. Anybody else? With every head bowed, every eye closed, let's pray this out loud together. Father God, we come before You. In the name of Jesus, I believe, Father, that Jesus died for my sins, that He took my place. I am sorry, Lord, for rebelling against You, for sinning against You, but I receive mercy and grace right now. By the blood of Jesus, by the body of Jesus, He hung on the cross for me. He paid the penalty for my sin. And I receive that right now. Holy Spirit, make me new on the inside. Kindle a fire within me that was there before. Or maybe that hasn't been yet. And I will serve You as my Savior and my Lord all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's just praise the Lord. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for saving these. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. More brothers and sisters in the kingdom. Hallelujah. One more thing here. If you did pray that prayer and you want us to pray with you, thank you, Heidi. Please come up and we'd be glad to pray with you. If you don't want to, understand, but we do have a Bible for you and a New Believer's Book for you. And then there's also a card here from the church that will take you to the website. There are four different series that we did when we started the church that are recorded there that are for new believers to establish foundation in your life. And we'd love for you to download those and begin to listen to those. They're available on the website to do that. So we can either have these up here, but they also have them at the welcome table in the back. If there's anybody else that needs prayer this morning, whether it be for healing in body, whether it be just for strength, maybe you're going through a difficult situation and it has nothing to do physically, but something else, we'd be glad to pray with you. God bless you guys. We love you. Don't forget Wednesday night we have Bible study. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.